Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
It is Brendan Escott sitting in today as Bob travels to Seattle with the Oilers. 1:33 in Edmonton. It is St. Patrick's Day, but a solemn mood has fallen over our city as of yesterday morning in the wake of the slain police officers, Travis Jordan and Brett Ryan. So our heart's heavy and our thoughts with those families today. Meanwhile, we do have a couple of hockey games taking over Rogers' place this weekend. The Oilers on the road. The Oil Kings will be at home, and just a few games left in this season for them. So let's get the lowdown from head coach Luke Pearce on a game day. Appreciate you jumping aboard, Luke, especially considering you guys play this evening, I should say. How you doing today?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks, Brennan. And like you mentioned off the top there, my thoughts as well with the families and everybody with Edmonton Police, and appreciate to see all their dedicated service and thinking of everybody over there.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you saying so. With a mind on hockey here, I want to rewind to March 8th because it was a big game for you guys out on the road in Regina. Obviously, don't need to set that one up. You've got probably the best player of that I've ever seen in junior hockey, not named Connor McDavid. And you storm into his barn and you come away with a 3-2 win. Just how meaningful was that for your team, especially at this time of year?
Oh, tremendously impactful for our group. I think just to help kind of create some inspiration here down our last few weeks, I'll give our guys a lot of credit. I mean, we talked about there was a team that came off of three really big games, and we kind of set the stage to tell them that, you know, this was, we could catch them in a bit of a trap situation where they were about to head back out on the road, and maybe they, you know, had already packed their bags and weren't thinking about the game against us. And to our guys' credit, I think they fully took advantage of it. They got after them early, and you know, some really solid goaltending from Colby Hay, and we were opportunistic when we needed to be. And but it's, you know, it feels good. That building's rocking right now. Like you said, they've got tremendous crowds there to watch, you know, one of a generational player that's come through our league. So a fantastic, you know, boost in our spirits, certainly as a group.
Some lopsided losses coming in the lead up to that. So you're able to flip the script not only for that game, but then you take Winnipeg to overtime in their building the next night, you know. So even though you don't come away with a victory, I imagine in a season like this, those are the types of sort of bulletin board accomplishments that you've really got to lean into. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, no, that's fair. 100% it is. And I think it's the Winnipeg one was interesting. I thought we came out with that, you know, a real good jolt of confidence from playing as well as we did in Regina, and came into the third period tied and gave up two goals really early. And that had been what had sunk our team recently, was being close going into the third and then just kind of running out of gas. And in Winnipeg, we clawed back and tied it up late to go into overtime. So that showed a lot of character of our young team. And obviously, you know, fell short there in OT. And then the next night in Brandon is where you start to see the youth and the fatigue levels kick in. And another game, we were close going into the third and just kind of the wheels fell off a little bit. So being able to do things consistently well is really what determines elite teams. And right now for us, it's still something that we're growing through.
Chatting with Oil Kings head coach Luke Pearce right now on Oilers Now. A couple of home games coming up, Luke, as mentioned here. But 6 days off between that loss against Brandon and then obviously tonight's contest. So I wonder at this time of year with the playoffs well out of reach, what you have as a coaching staff to do to really keep the engagement level up. How much of a challenge is that for you? Or do you have a group that's quite bought in?
Yeah, we have a group that I feel is very bought in. At the same time, it is a tremendous challenge because they're human and they understand what's, you know, the end is only a couple weeks away and your mind starts to wander. So you want to have them in here as much as you can to avoid that, but you don't want to burn them out and make them not want to be here. So I thought we had a really good balance this week. We took Monday off after that's a long trip home from Winnipeg and Brandon, and a much needed kind of rest day. And then instead of coming in here Tuesday and going through a regular routine, we went and played pickleball at the Edmonton Pickleball and Volleyball Center, which was a tremendous amount of fun. And it still keeps the guys together. It keeps them all engaged, but it changes the mindset a little bit, and felt that we got a really good jolt energy from that on the next two practice days. So it's just trying to find some different things for them that, again, keeping them all together and engaged, but not necessarily just going through your standard routine of being on the ice every day.
I wonder who some of the leaders in the group are that are sort of helping keep guys in check and helping keep the group chat going, or whatever it may be that at this stage of the year it would be so important to keep those fibers going together.
Yeah, you lean on those, obviously, the older guys that have been through some of it. And then the one guy that really has stood out to me and our staff has been Loic Dagg. And Loic's a player that joined us from the Quebec Major Junior League on waivers. And just his outlook on life has been a really refreshing thing here. He's just such a positive guy that embraces the opportunity that he's in and the challenge that he's been a part of. And he's having fun and still, he's the hardest working guy on the ice every day. And he's 20 years old and, about to head off on his university career, but he plays every game and every practice here like he's still trying to earn a draft. So he's been a really good inspiration, I think, for a lot of our young players.
Has he picked up the first goal twice now, or two games in a row for you?
Yeah, he has. And power play, he's been really good. And he keeps coming in and asking us for ways to improve and get better. And I think that just shows you the type of person that he is. And that's what we want for our young guys to see. That, I think, is really important, because of being a part of championship teams here. That's what those guys were like. They were always looking for ways to get better, regardless if they were first round NHL picks or, 20 year olds that were, headed into university. But to be a champion, I think that's, you need to constantly be looking to improve.
I wonder what you can say, Luke, about the goaltending room and just the overall attitude and approach to the fact that there's going to be quite a bit of rubber coming towards them, on a game-to-game basis, and there have been some lopsided scores, but you come in and you punch the clock and you're going to work until the season's done.
Yeah, goaltending is an interesting, not such a valuable part of your team, but it's also a very unique part where you're kind of a little bit of a one-man sport at times. And we talked to both goaltenders before the road trip about, I think, them just needing to reset their minds on expect to see 50 shots a night. That's the reality of the situation that you guys are in. And you can't really embody the same body language at times that our team has, where you're, defeated. And it's a one-on-one challenge every time you face a shooter, and trying to embrace that. And I thought they've done a good job. I mean, obviously the one in Brandon got a little bit away from us, but a lot of fatigue, like I said, kicked in there. So with goaltenders, it's sometimes you look at a guy like Sebastian Kosa last year, there was a lot of nights where he didn't face much rubber. And, I think early on in his pro career, that might have affected him a little bit. He's playing tremendous hockey right now, but sometimes as a goalie, you want to see a lot more pucks, and you need to find ways to thrive on that.
Up front, Luke, Gavin Hodnett's been a name that we see. He's leading your team in scoring. So when we get those standout performances, a lot of the time it's been his name, and it's just his first year, full year, I guess, in the league. He had five games last season. But a diminutive player in stature, but it seems like the production does not follow suit with that.
Yeah, he's been impressive. And the thing that maybe jumps out the most is the consistency that he's been able to do it with. I think most young players, and especially at 16, but even 17 and 18-year-olds, they usually go through real ebbs and flows in their seasons, and they get into some long troughs of lacking production, that hasn't been the case with Gavin. And even on nights where he hasn't necessarily produced points-wise, he's still driving the offense for us and leading our team in entries and chances created and things like that. So we know the intelligence level that he has, the skill set that he has, but the consistency, I think, really speaks to the mental approach that he has to the game. And that's something that usually takes a lot longer for players to develop in their career. And we're the benefactors of Gavin's maturity right now, and know that he's going to have a tremendous, career here.
Not a bad thing for a young player to experience a little bit of adversity. I wonder what dividends this might pay for him 2 or 3 years down the road, right? Having this character-building experience.
For sure. Every experience you go through, it's how you decide to respond to it that'll determine the outcomes. And for Gavin, I'm pretty confident in what that is going to look like. He's going to be a very determined player again next year, not just to improve his own game, but to make those around him better. And I think we witness that with top end athletes all the time, that there hits a point where you decide that you're going to help your team. And I think for Gavin, he understands it's going to be an important part of his future, and he wants to win. And this kid competes at everything. I mentioned about pickleball. I mean, he was the most competitive guy on the floor, and he plays ball hockey in the summer. His team's qualified for nationals on occasion. Like, he's got that competitive gene, and I know that this adversity is going to fuel him for sure to improve our group.
All right. Just one more question for you here, Luke, and that is for a preview of this weekend's action. You get a doubleheader on home ice, Medicine Hat tonight, Lethbridge tomorrow. What do you expect to see?
Well, both teams are fighting into the playoffs here, Medicine Hat especially, and all of our opponents going down the stretch. They're in this battle for those last couple spots in Eastern Conference, so we know we're going to get teams that are playing heavy and hard, and I like this Medicine Hat team a lot. They're young, they're quick, and they're kind of a year ahead of where I'm hoping us to be, and the Lethbridge is a little bit heavier of a group, and we'll see that. We had a tough game against them last time, but we have beat them twice this year, so I think our group is fairly confident, and we want to play these last couple games at home in front of obviously what will be great crowds, and leave it on a positive note here in Edmonton.
Great stuff, Luke. 7 o'clock puck drop for both games. Really appreciate you taking the time this afternoon once again. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Luke Pearce, head coach of the Edmonton Oil Kings. It is 1:45 in Edmonton. It is St. Patrick's Day. It is a Friday. Not a bad combination. We'll get to some of your text messages. 780-496-0063. This texter says the Oilers, not Oil Kings, Oilers. I'm sure the Oil Kings would love the veteran presence of Ryan Reeves. But this texter, Carl from Camrose, suggests that the Oilers, in fact, should look at signing Ryan Reeves. McDavid gets some additional protection with him in the lineup next year. And yes, I know he's a 36-year-old. I don't know. I think they've got Evander Kane to take care of that kind of thing. I think they could have taken a swing on Ryan Reeves this year if they had a mind to. It would have worked out. It only cost Minnesota a fifth-round pick or so. I think they've got enough people to handle that kind of business. But I do love watching Ryan Reeves go about his business on a nightly basis in the NHL. When he gets out there, when he gets mic'd up for whatever it is, that's gold. That's good for the game. I don't know if I'm any good for the game, but I hope you come back when we return from this break on Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
A big happy St. Patrick's Day to you and yours. Hope you're celebrating tonight some responsible manner. It's good to have fun. It's good that this day falls on a Friday, but it's also good to remember that we lost two valued community members yesterday in the line of duty, Constables Travis Jordan and Brett Ryan. And we're just, I suppose, rolling with the punches the day afterwards as information continues coming out. Obviously, keep it locked on 630 CHED throughout the rest of the afternoon. Rob Breckenridge, 2 to 3 today, and Chelsea on CHED from 3 to 6 with all the latest on that front. But we still get to escape for another, 11 minutes or so here, give or take. Don't have the exact line combinations heading into tomorrow. It was not a complete skate today, but we will check out the the lineup report, the game day lineup report in lieu for tomorrow. Lineup report brought to you by McGuire Financial. Have the right teammates on your side for your financial future. For a free financial consultation, visit McGuireFinancial.ca. Let's just take a peek at what they ran with last night, and I'll tell you why I feel this way. Because if Zach Hyman's ready to rock, I just cannot see Warren Fogle descending down the lineup with the way that he's played. So that leads me to believe, if we're projecting, McDavid will center Kane and Hyman tomorrow. That leaves Draisaitl with Nugent Hopkins and Fogle. Then you're looking at a third line, Bjugstad, Janmark, and Clem Costin played there, but I can see where maybe he falls out of the lineup. If not, look at Devin Shore, who dressed last night as part of the 11 and 7 to come out. Who were the seven defensemen? You know them all by now. Darnell Nurse, Cody Ceci, Matthias Ekholm, and Evan Bouchard, who frankly have kind of ascended to that number one pair since Ekholm arrived, and Bouchard really has slotted in alongside him nicely. And then you've got Kulak, Desharnais, and Philip Broberg. And I saw Broberg in shooting lanes. I saw Kulak rushing the puck. And it's frankly hard to miss Vinny Desharnais no matter what he's doing out on the ice. He prevented the goal and the penalty kill last night. And that led to what was the shorthanded goal by Matthias Janmark. So there you go. A quick look. I expect Stuart Skinner to start this game as well. And then, as Bob mentioned, there's a Monday, Tuesday back-to-back on the road next week, and Jack Campbell should be appearing in one of those. So, all right, which one of these guys comes out of the lineup? And that's still if Zach Hyman is good to go. Sounds like if it's the playoffs, he's playing right now, but a good time to rest some guys if you have the opportunity. Why not? Why not? 2 o'clock puck drop. Tomorrow afternoon on 6:30, Ched, you love the weekend matinee, right? I don't know. But at least it's not a guaranteed loss like it seemed to be in years past. Oh, my goodness. Mark in St. Albert texting the show says, hard to get into St. Patrick's Day given the loss of our two EPS heroes. I feel sad. Absolutely, Mark. And that's why we really haven't... That's why we really haven't done much celebrating today. It's the heart's too heavy right now. We are in mourning. Shane in Saskatoon says he wants to send his thoughts to all of us in the Edmonton area. Our hearts are grieving with you as well. Appreciate that very much, Shane. Thank you. Stephen from BC has texted in wondering if I have any Irish in my family. I actually do, Stephen. I've got the cliched shamrock tattoo on my left calf. My grandfather came on my mom's side. He came from Ireland. His mom was from there. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a quarter or an eighth, somewhere along the line. But, yes, I do have some Irish in me. In fact, my mom's named Shannon, which is a very Irish name. 780-496-0063. Haji says, use Ushka Baha. I believe I've pronounced that correctly. We've opened with them several times. As an Alberta police officer who's attended far too many slain police officer funerals, can you play a different song here dedicated to the fallen? Haji, we're going musicless until next week. I think it's just a simple decision on our front. We'll keep the tone here. And I understand where you're going with that, and I appreciate you grieving alongside with us. I know we said we were going to escape, but a lot of the text messages coming in are just directly related to that and what has been a pretty difficult last couple of days here. This is where, you know, you'll have to have sports as sort of a reminder, or it is an escape, but then you have the reminder, I suppose, of these instances that puts everything into perspective. So... I don't know, struggling to find the words on this front. So instead, I'll tell you that Royal Pizza is pizza, pasta, and so much more. And they're still making it great. Get their new Canadian Club Pizza with ham, chicken, bacon, ranch. Oh, my goodness. And some fresh tomatoes as well. That sounds delicious. Visit royalpizza.ca. This Day in Oilers History brought to you by New West Travel. Travel down to California this April. Next month, see the Oilers play the Kings and the Ducks. Call New West Travel or visit newwesttravel.com. 1993 we go, and the Oilers making a swap. They trade Esa Tikkanen to the New York Rangers in exchange for Doug Waite. Yes, Waite tallied 8 points in 13 games the rest of the way, but ultimately he spent 9 years in Edmonton. He served as captain, scored 577 points in 588 games, and an era where scoring wasn't necessarily that high. I was a mere toddler at this point, so you know well more than I do just how impactful Doug Weight was on this franchise. But my understanding is at the time where this franchise didn't have a whole heck of a lot left to hang its hat on, Doug Weight was that guy. So maybe bridging a gap, in a sense, to a different generation. Big Rig Al texting in. He says, a retired PO. Heartbroken, but we shall meet again in Valhalla, he says. That's Big Rig Al checking in. We'll make that our last text message today. Appreciate everybody who contributed at 780-496-0063. Back to your regularly scheduled programming on Monday, but certainly not forgetting about those officers we lost, Travis Jordan and Brett Ryan, once again. Continued coverage coming up on 6:30 Ched this afternoon. We've got Rob Breckenridge, as mentioned, 2 to 3. And then it's Chelsea on Ched with Chelsea Bird. Oilers in action tomorrow at Climate Pledge Arena. Our coverage here on Ched starts at 12:30. Puck drop at 2 o'clock. A little later on tonight, you know, you've got Reed Wilkins cleaning up the sports scene as well with Inside Sports at 6. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to sit alongside you. Enjoy your weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And don't forget to remember.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.